cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South, sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour for Breitbart News, Joe Pollack, and for Bealheimer News, Sean Ross. That's in the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. By the way, 251-343-0106. If you want to weigh in on anything, hit us up on that text line. That works exceptionally well this morning. Joining us now, he is a public service commissioner. We're very pleased to welcome Jeremy Oden to the program. Commissioner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great this morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking time. It's important, to get you on during these times when where utilities and where energy infrastructure comes into play. Today we're talking about the Colonial Pipeline. And I grew up in Pelham, Alabama. I went to high school there. I passed that tank farm hundreds of times, or probably thousands of times, actually, and I never realized that was part of the Colonial Pipeline. Well, I didn't even realize the Colonial Pipeline was what it was until here recently, but we're learning very fast as we see a lot of gas stations, have struggles to keep up with demand. But I'll get you on here to talk about that and kind of what the state's role is in this whole, whatever you want to call it, crisis or whatever.
Well, one of the things that we need to first discuss is, you know, the Public Service Commission, we do natural gas, all the companies, but as far as Colonial is concerned, we're already really over the safety aspect of the pipeline. So there's a limited reach that we have over that. And one, it's a trans-state line. In other words, it goes multiple states. The feds have most of the control over that, but one of the issues and the issue with Colonial has been the cyber attack, and that's some area that I'm experienced in with nationally with our utilities. I've been discussing nationally about a cyber attack and stuff like that. So this is one in which went through, and it hasn't crippled the system, but it definitely has made an impact. I think we're getting just as much chatter on it in the utility world as we did with Texas and what happened with it. So it's definitely going to be a pinpoint situation. We'll go back to it, and we're going to probably look at all of the different utilities, not just Colonial, but most of them, and make sure the cyber systems, we're sort of taking a Trump thing and saying cyber force, make sure your cyber force is up and running correctly.
Well, if anything, this is a wake-up call, because this isn't in our day-to-day conversations about things you need to be on the lookout for. It's out of our mind. But I think this, certainly a wake-up call. Wait in line for some gasoline somewhere, or go pay more at the pump because of this, and it becomes it becomes something to be concerned about.
Right, and some of that, Jeff, is like Governor Ivey basically said yesterday, and I think Attorney General Steve Marshall has made comments. A lot of, like you said, all these elected officials are putting some voice in, but some of it is panic buying, what we call panic buying. I always call it now the TP scenario, the toilet paper scenario, like we did with the other pandemic. You don't expect to go in the grocery store and have all the toilet paper gone. And with this issue, I don't think the awareness of going, and saying, hey, let's go get gas. I'm for it. I didn't mind. I went and filled up my cars. I filled them up. So that's good. But then I start getting pictures early, late Monday afternoon of people going in and taking 55-gallon drums, 2 to 3 in the back end of pickups, and just filling them full of gas. One, the safety aspect of that is just scary. And two, I don't want a black market type scenario to happen. It's very illegal to sell gas out of the back end of your truck. So, so some of that concern is some of that issue. I don't mind, you making sure you have enough, and sure, we were expecting some slowness on supply, But it's not necessarily that the gas is not there. It's actually trying to get it to the stations right now. Pipeline is not fully functional. Colonial is coming back slowly, putting on the smaller systems. They have to build from the smaller systems back up. Because you don't turn the big thing on and blow all the little ones. You got to make sure all of the smaller systems are working, all the small pipelines, and then you move your way up. And so they're systematically cutting them on. So we are still looking at a line possibly by Saturday or Sunday that it will be almost all fully recovered. So,
well, are there, in the meantime, they could, I guess they could truck some of that in, right? That is an alternative, if I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, they're already doing that. So part of the federal decisions is allowing, see, these truckers that actually transport the gas in trucks, they have a limited time frame in which they can be behind the wheel. That's a safety precaution, but the federal government has extended that. The state has extended that so that these truckers can be on the road a little bit longer than what they normally are. And are able to get that gasoline to the distribution points or even to the local stores. That's what's happening now is that we had a rush on the local stores, and they were not prepared, basically to handle that rush. And so it was a supply issue as far as the major pipeline going down, but it also is a supply issue on the purchase side of customers saying, let's run to the store and, you know, get gas. So, I want to be careful because I'm sort of a prepper myself. And so, you know, I want to have what I can get. But still the issues of out there is how you're getting it and what you're doing with it when you get it. So Attorney General's, I'm pretty sure he's active, in the situation and make sure there's no price gouging going on. So there's a lot of different players in the game. The biggest one I do is that we're going to be looking at cybersecurity. So I talked to both our natural gas company and Alabama Power and Spire personally and made sure that they are monitoring the situation. And they are saying they do not have any effects right now with their businesses on this. Another question I asked late yesterday afternoon for them was to make sure that their cybersecurity was up to par and, you know, function in as well. And they assured me that, you know, they always stay on top of it. The thing that we don't understand, Jeff, is that we get hit so frequently. I mean, thousands of hits a minute from third world countries, bigger national countries. We get hit from basic such as this, these dark groups that are out there trying to do ransomware. So all of these are hitting our utilities every minute, and people don't realize that. And this is one, this group that does this, they've done it several places all over the world. So they're pretty good at it. And so when we start looking at these, then we start pegging who can do this efficiently, and then so therefore that's when all the governments will get involved and start tracking these individuals down.
Well, from a safety standpoint, when you have these disruptions, the actual physical infrastructure of these pipelines, does that become a concern? You mentioned getting all these smaller spurs or whatever, making sure that they're functioning properly before you just hit the on switch altogether. But do you, as the Public Service Commission functions, is that something you're looking at, you're worried about, you're concerned about?
Yeah, we will be actually, since it's a cyber threat and not a physical threat, the biggest thing too in a cyber threat is you do look for the, you know, the physical threat. Is there going to be a physical threat onto the line? But also you look at the cyber side of it and how vulnerable that system is. So yeah, we will, you know, not only us, but your federal guys, your FEMSA groups, that's FEMSA is the National Pipeline Group. So they will be definitely, they're on it now. Department of Energy, of course, is the mother department that oversees most of this stuff. FEMSA sort of falls underneath them. So they will definitely be in there looking at cyber systems. And it is a wake-up call to us as citizens to realize the threat. We hear this cyber stuff all the time, and we really don't see an outcome of it. Well, this is an outcome of it. So, you know, if you can take a system, and as computerized as we are in tech, as we are across the world, you can take out your, you know, technology, and then you're sitting here crippled. So we had, we have two actually big pipelines going through the state of Alabama. This is only one of them, but this one is one of the nation's largest. So that's why it made such a hit. There's a lot of times that these cyber hits come on, and we just have to, we go in there and we take care of it quickly. Usually there's some redundant systems that take over, but when you, when you get one like this, this was an eye-opener, and they found a hole, actually, in security in the cyber system, and got through it.
Well, tell me this, watching this from your post, the federal response, you know, we like to beat up on the Biden administration. I get their press releases. It looks like they're at least trying to create the perception that they're being very active. What's the reality there?
Well, this is what happens with administrations. Usually in administrations, and especially early on like we are with the Biden administration, they're not changing the individuals that are doing the day-to-day work. Most of those changes are going to be with an administration or the heads of those agencies at first. Now, you can work your way down, but that will take time in order to get some of that. We had a little bit of that with the Trump administration. We went in there and changed some higher ups, but basically down in the system, there was still some very big anti-Trump people, and they were doing some, you know, I want to say, I'll just say destructive stuff on their level. So what happens with that when the federal system changes like we have done on the last two administrations, abrupt changes like that, it takes a while. So these people who are running these systems have been running the system, and most of these guys and gals are 20 years in, 25 years in, so they know what they're doing, and they, you know, they know exactly how to handle the situation. So they moved quickly. What you get is the top, and when you get the top, you get people mouthing off and everything and really not knowing what's happening. So some of that has occurred, but they've handled it pretty well. The biggest thing and the first thing that they did positively was release the time stamp and the time date on the driver so that we could get the gas out there and move it, other than the pipeline. So that's a redundant factor that we can do. The problem is, as we are seeing all over the place, is that we don't have enough drivers for those trucks. So sometimes you're sitting with some of these delivery guys, they may have the gas, but they can't get it out there because they don't have a driver for the truck.
Well, so we've heard from the governor, try not to panic buy, try to remain calm. You see this kind of cleared up by with the weekend, I assume?
You will see a lot of the – they're going to work probably within the urban areas and then move to the rural areas, which I'm really upset about. I like my rural areas. I'm a rural guy. But I understand the urban side too. So they're going to work trying to get these tanks filled that's in these different stations and stuff all over just as fast as they can. They're going to be pushing 24/7, especially they're doing that now with the trucking side of it. But when the pipeline gets tucked back on, you still have to go to the Pelham farm and pick up the gas and then deliver it from there with a truck. So you're still going to have some delivery issues. So there may be some longer reach spots, some more rural areas that may go past Monday or Tuesday. You're not talking 5-10 days at the max that we can see. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say it'll all be done. There's something else that may could occur in the process. So there's always contingencies out there, but we're looking at a pretty good 95% to 99% recovery by next week.
Yeah, and we've dealt with this from time to time during hurricanes. That's when I'm accustomed to seeing the lines at the gas stations. But just generally, gas prices have gone up. And we could tag it to all the policy, maybe of the Biden administration, but also commodity prices and inflation and things like that. That we're in this situation. Is the situation exacerbated, you think, because of the economics, the price of gas having gone up since the beginning of the year, and that makes it more of a challenge to overcome right now?
I think that affected a lot of your panic buying. because we were seeing gas prices rise on a steady basis. That is one thing that the Biden administration has done, is we have seen such an increase in our gas just in a short period of time. So, and a lot of that is due to his policies. And I don't mind, you know, I'll say it, I don't mind saying it. His policies have spiked the price of gas. And you're sitting here wondering, you know, the pipeline closure affected hundreds of thousands of jobs, but it also economically hit the what we would call the liquid gas scenario in our country. And so, you know, Keystone should have continued the way it was doing. And some of that is direct cause of that decision as far as the policy is concerned. You're going to see energy increase simply because the move again. I mean, I was underneath Obama during the PSC years, and we had war on coal, I guess is what you could say it, which, you know, I really think they may have won. But you're sitting here now with a guy who is saying that he doesn't want any gas vehicles, you know, and so that's a massive change, but it's also a massive put onto your electric grid system. So how are you going to handle all of that? You know, I think you're going to see some increasing in, especially on your, just on your power energy side, simply through the Biden policy administrations. So we did definitely with the Obama situation.
Commissioner, we're up against a break here, but we do appreciate your time and talking about this. Let's talk again very soon.
Okay. I'll call back in. Just let me know.
Will do. Public Service Commissioner Jeremy Oden on the line. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
You work a 40-hour week for a living. Just to send it on.